Time to eat with the crown topics of the day. Today's been a two for Tuesday, although it's Monday. So two topics here on a Monday. Out of the gate, BT, we started talking about the Jets and another miserable performance from them. It is just, I mean, this is what happens. It's predictable. It's what happens when you don't build a foundation properly. Bringing in Adams, firing Sala, having Reddick back, and yet somehow this team lost to the crappy New England Patriots. And the Jets have gotten worse this year with a different head coach than Robert Sala and Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking versus Zach Wilson a year ago. It is unthinkable, and they have now become unwatchable.
Sal, I don't think I could have imagined this under, like in my mind, the worst circumstances happening the first basically 2 months of the season. I just couldn't envision this. I have watched, like many of you, a lot of bad, empty, inept Jet Sundays. And I saw, and we saw something yesterday that I've never seen and probably will never see again. They, in the first 12 minutes of football, they managed to call three timeouts, had four penalties, missed a kick. I mean, it's just absolutely it's mind-boggling how bad it gets. And then, you know what's crazy, too? A lot of times we're sitting there, and my son's yelling, snap it, snap. Like, they had to call three timeouts in the first, but they are perilously close. Many other, and I know some other teams are too, many other times where it just seems like their entire operation is slow and disjointed. They threw a Hail Mary. It was dropped short of the goal line or intercepted, and they are nowhere near being on the path that we want them and need them to be on, which means everybody will be fired. I believe Rodgers will be gone next year. If they don't want him gone, I believe he's going to say, I'm tapped out. I'm finished. I can't physically do it. And they'll have to start all over. And who they start all over with, I don't know. But, and you know, and I don't really think it matters because, well, I mean, if they hire the one amazing, I don't know who that is yet, but if they stumbled upon a great hire, yeah, it could be fixed here. But my belief that that's going to happen is basically zero because the owner is awful.
Yeah, the infrastructure is so busted that you don't even know if you'd be able to get the right person in here. For me, at this particular point, the one move they can make is to make them interesting and watchable and maybe better and try to salvage this season that has been an unmitigated disaster. Hire Rex Ryan. I mean, at this point, why not go out? You know Rex would want the job, so check in that regard. It's not, well, you know, maybe go after Belichick. You know he wouldn't want it. No, Rex would want the job, and it could happen. Actually, it should have happened yesterday. Woody Johnson should have fired Ulbrich right after the game and hired Rex Ryan and let him come in here and at least bring his energy. And I don't think Rex is a great head coach, but he's better than Ulbrich. And at this point, they have nothing to lose. The season is already lost. They're going to fire everybody anyway. You've got a veteran in here in Rodgers. You got Devontae Adams here. You might as well take a stab at it with the only head coach who would want to come into this situation, and that would be Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I want no piece of Rex at this point. I mean, Rex, you know, wailing on the Jets is, I guess, still somewhat entertaining, although not really incredibly entertaining. I think he's, I don't know, it's not even that good anymore, but maybe because we're all tired of it. No, I don't need Rex to come in here and try to save this or salvage this. I don't want him to be the head coach. And, you know, I'm a Rex fan, but I think his tenure here is grossly overstated. Now, of course, with the two championship appearances, we appreciated that. It was fun. But once Mangini's, and you said this earlier, and you were right, once Mangini's players got old or moved on, Rex never showed any ability to, you know, build the culture and develop properly from what was drafted. So I don't want Rex, and I did listen. And by the way, even if they did bring him in, and who knows with Woody, what do you do with Ulbrich? So you say you fire Ulbrich.
Yeah,
no,
fire
I got you.
Like immediately.
Okay, but how unfair, I'm going to stand up for Ulbrich here. Ulbrich, as the defensive coordinator, was doing a really good job. So, I guess Jet fans don't care about that. I guess I'll stand up a little bit for Ulbrich in that regard.
All right, but he got elevated to a position he can't handle.
Yeah, no, it's too much because he's still trying to do the defense. It's a juggle that he's not qualified for.
The reason why he'd be fired in this spot, I'm assuming Rex wouldn't want him to be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, true.
So Rex is going to come in. And by the way, you mentioned it, the key before. That's another reason why I think Rex is the good fit right now. They have players. It's not like they don't have any talent. He's got to build this thing up. This is a one-year, not even a one-year. It's a nine-game trial. The way the Colts did it with Jeff Saturday, bringing him from the ESPN broadcast studios, to the Colts head coaching job. And the difference is Rex actually has head coaching experience, in particular with this franchise. So why not take a stab at it with that defense, who I think lost a little bit of steam when their guy, Saleh, was shown the door? The defense has gotten worse. The Jets have gotten worse. They fired Saleh. They have Aaron Rodgers. They bring in Davante Adams, and yet they get worse and worse and worse each week. I would take a shot at this point at trying to get Rex in here. I'm not saying it would work, but it's they could fire one more salvo. That would be it.
Well, listen, you know where I stand. I wouldn't do it, but I'll tell you what I would do before even entertaining bringing Rex back. I would seriously listen and plant some seeds. We're open for business. Who do you want to trade for? I would do the exact opposite. I wouldn't try to salvage at this point. I would build it out, and I would get as much draft equity as I can humanly get, and I start over next year with somebody who's really smart, I'm going to get the keys to the franchise to, and get back some of the draft picks I gave up for Adams last year, for Rodgers. Like, you got to get some draft picks in here, man.
Yeah, that time to do that to me would be in the offseason with a new general manager. I wouldn't do that with Joe Douglas. It's WFAN's Yankee Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. BT, we got the Yanks tonight at the stadium, and this talk about, Yanks down 0-2. To me, I'm more encouraged with where the Yankees are at. Obviously, you'd like the result. You'd rather them be up 2-0 or even split 1-1, which you could argue it should be. But I'm more encouraged what I saw. As somebody who thought the Dodgers would win in 5, I thought the Dodgers would mash Yankee pitching, and they haven't. The fact that the Yankees have pitched, to me, I feel like Judge will get going. I know that's going to be the main talking point about Aaron Judge. Will he? Won't he? He has to get going for this team to have a chance to beat the Dodgers. But I'm more encouraged after those first two games in L.A. I think a change of scenery going to do the Yankees well here, coming home to where you feel like last licks will be a big factor in this series. I think they'll hit at the stadium if they can continue to pitch, starting with Clark Schmidt tonight. That's their path to winning this World Series.
Listen, I'm not going to use the word encouraged, but I'm certainly not going to say that I'm discouraged. I'm a little displeased with some of the events, and we're so far past Friday and Saturday at this point, we don't need to reset them. We already did that. So if you missed our take on the Cortez stuff or the other mistakes that they made, just go check it out. Free Odyssey app, get up to speed. While I think the Yankees will hit better, and I've always believed in Clark Schmidt, I'm a big Schmidt fan, so I love the fact that he's taking the baseball tonight. I think he has the perfect demeanor and stuff to try to will this team back into the series. But why I'm still alarmed here, Sal, of course, you can't ignore Judge. So Judge is yet to prove he can hit when it really matters in a postseason. This isn't the first year. It's a big story. We know that. Aaron Boone has yet to be able to distinguish himself. Now, he hasn't had a great roster over the years. There's been too many issues, but he had multiple chances to do different things the first two games, and it seemed like he hit every wrong button. So while we say that Aaron Boone's not a great manager, that was really an illumination of what we mean. And then the other guy, who's terrified us for years, still doesn't show the ability to be focused and ready and locked in when he's got to be, and that's Gleyber Torres. So, yeah, I mean, Soto might hit a 3-run bomb, and Volpe might run into one, or Wells, or I think Schmidt's going to pitch. There's no doubt. But until Judge joins the party, Boone buttons it up, and Torres stops being a dope out there half asleep, they're not going to beat this Dodgers team. Dodgers are good, man. It's not the Guardians or the Royals. It's Dodgers.
But
if they do the things that they can do and that they have done, for various spurts of this year, I think they win tonight, and I think we get a deep series. They got a chance to win.
What do you think's more likely to continue, the Yankee pitching or Judge struggling offensively?
I'm kind of leaning toward the pitching right now.
Right, Sam, me too. So if that's the case, that's how they're going to, forget Torres. He's never going to change. He is what he is. You just hope it doesn't bite you in the next, six games, whatever it may be, 4 or 5 games here. You hope it doesn't come back to cost you, but if they continue to pitch, and there's reason to believe they will, I think Judge is going to get going offensively. That's
okay, but based on what now? Just because he's Judge, yes. Based on something you see, based on the more that the time goes on, I see a guy who looks lost.
Two things. I don't think the at-bats are that bad. I do think he's in the
They are horrendous.
No, I do.
You said that last hour. They're terrible.
Yeah, I don't think they're as bad.
His at-bats stink.
No, I don't think they're as bad as it's
awful.
Making it seem. He's also getting pitched to
well,
very well.
Well, then adjust.
By
Everybody's
pitches.
Getting it's the World Series.
He will. I mean, I think
he will.
I think he will adjust.
I hope you're right, man, because he looks terrible.
I don't. I mean, to me, when Stanton goes bad, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
Judge is just missing, and he is in his own head a little bit. Him getting blown away by a fastball should never happen, and that just shows you mentally he's a little screwed up right now. I don't think he's that far off, though. I'm not watching a guy who I think looks overmatched and feels lost. Even a guy like Wells, I thought, had a good at-bat. Yeah, he struck out in the end of that game.
I know.
But he had a good, Volpe had an awful at-bat.
Volpe has had some really ugly at-bats.
So to me, that's different from what we're seeing with Judge. combine that judge's history with I don't think he looks as bad as the numbers say they are.
Talking about his postseason history or is all the because his postseason history is among the it's the worst in baseball history.
No, but I think it's worse because of what he's done in the regular season.
Okay.
I think Judge, if you take into the player and hitter that he's been in his career, combined with I don't think it's as bad as the numbers show in the postseason, combine that with being back at home and facing Dodger pitching that I don't think is very good or at least about to start to turn the corner. Like, I think their bullpen is shot. The majority of guys in that, and Blake Treinen, starting with him, who was their best arm, I think he's toast. I think they're ripe for the picking,
but
in particular these games.
Why do you say, I'm curious, where is the evidence that Judge's at-bats aren't as bad as they look? He struck out 50% of the time.
I understand. I don't think he's chasing. He's chasing
every at-bat.
I don't think he's chasing that bad.
Don't you think that the burden to bust out is even more elevated at home? Like, don't you think it's harder? It's going to be harder for him to snap out with 50,000 people desperately begging him to snap out of it?
It sounds like you think it's a pressure thing.
I think it's mostly derived from pressure.
See, I don't.
But it's also mechanical.
Right.
Because his entire approach is whacked.
Yeah, I think mentally he's not or wasn't in a great spot. Again, getting beat by the fastball to me is a bad sign. I think that's something that can be corrected. I don't think it's a pressure thing for Judge. I do think he's probably trying to do a little bit too much, but I think he could calm that down. I don't think he's swinging pitches that are egregiously out of the strike zone. He's close. They're pitching him well. We'll see how it plays out here. I think Judge is closer to getting it turned on than it may seem right now. Once he does, as long as they pitch.
Oh, away we go. Then the Yankees can win. First and second.
If they pitch. I mean, Clark Schmidt gets lit up, then they're not going to win. I don't care how many home runs Judge hits.
First and second. Nobody out tonight. Judge is up. Place. The reinforcements are coming loose for the bowels of the stadium. You think he delivers first inning?
I do. I think he's going to deliver tonight. Now, was it the first inning? Is it the last inning? What do you like to see him get it done in the first inning? But he hasn't done it repeatedly throughout the playoffs in the first inning.
And he's had, I think, 11, 8 chances. No, I mean, almost every time he gets up, first inning, his guy's on base. Every time he does nothing.
I think at some point it's going to change. The question is, can the Yankees continue doing what they did well in games 1 and 2 if and when it does change for Aaron Judge? All right. BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Louie's in the Bronx. What's up, Louie?
What's up, fellas? That move by Boone going to Cortez was even worse because either someone didn't feed the information to Boone or he chose to ignore it. But did you see Freeman's numbers over the last 2 years?
Yeah, I saw it.
With the bases loaded against a left-hander.
Yep.
I mean, 9 of 14 with 4 homers, 25 RBIs.
So, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have
to do? It has a lot to do. The way things are played today.
He didn't bring him in to face Freeman with the bases loaded, Louis.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Louis, did you watch the game? Stop talking for a second.
He didn't. Here's the facts. If you watch the game, I shouldn't need to tell you this. He didn't bring him in to face.
He brought him in to face Ohtani. Fine, but
bye, Louis. I gave you a chance to talk. When I'm talking, you have to listen. Then when you talk, I will listen. You said he brought him in to face Freeman with the bases loaded. He did not. So that is factually incorrect what you said, which makes those numbers irrelevant. Once the bases were loaded, Boone didn't have a chance to make a move. He went with Cortez to face Ohtani with first and second. And then because of the Verdugo play, it led to second and third, and then you walk Betts to have the bases loaded to face Freddie Freeman. What, are you going to pitch to Betts? Either way, at that point, you were toast. It was over at that point. Over.
See, there's bad matchups, and then there's bad circumstances and bad matchups. Now, his numbers in the small sample, even though the bases weren't loaded, I got you on that, but are overwhelmingly amazing. So whether it was Hill or Cortez, they're both lefties.
All right.
So
what is that? Think about how, like, does it matter the day of time that it is? His average with against lefties with the bases loaded at 8 o'clock at night. Like, I mean, what are we doing here with the bases loaded against lefties? Like,
think about this. We can mock it all we want. The analytics and the reliance on them, that's how they manage. So if you're staring at something that's so clearly favors the hitter, you know, maybe there's different move to be made. Now, Hill's a lefty, so I'm going to put that as, you know, it's not a lefty-lefty thing.
Right, but again,
it's just who they went to at that point.
But the bases loaded thing is irrelevant.
No, well, I get that. I get that.
Okay.
But you also, you know, of course, I know that.
Okay.
I get that. But
that's my only issue with that number.
Yeah, he didn't bring him in with the bases loaded. We know what happened to Ohtani, right. And obviously in the stands and the runners move up, and then you can obviously put somebody on it. Now it's the bases loaded. I get that. I think that it's the circumstances that just drives me nuts. If Cortes was one of their most trusted relievers and he somehow willed that elbow that's been screaming basically all year, you know, back to be able to compete, and the Yankees went with one of their relief horses that had earned some stripes during the season, and he gives up a 400-foot grand slam, but it's a walk-off, I'm not going to go nuts. But it's a guy who hasn't pitched in 6 weeks and is not a relief pitcher and doesn't throw hard. And, we, you know, listen, so what happens? Let's say, instead, what was that, the second pitch you went deep. Let's say he starts
Freeman
out.
Freeman was the first pitch, no?
Well, was first or second?
I thought it was the first pitch.
All right, well, either way, he gives up the grand slam, right? What if he falls behind 3-0? You still have, you got to throw a strike. Now, he didn't, but you have to think this way when you're making a move of this magnitude, which means you've got to put somebody out there with better stuff. Because there's a chance a guy who's incredibly, I know we got Ohtani out, but a guy who's incredibly rusty, can't be game ready, despite Boone sounding like I don't know what he sounded like, talking about after, oh, he's looked so good. Yeah, he's down in Tampa, throwing a minor league guys, or throwing into a bullpen. It's not the same. So if he falls behind 2-0 or 3-0, you know he's got to come with a fastball. He has an average fastball. It's 91, 92 miles an hour, which means it's a show me, get me over fastball. So to me, from every conceivable, I'm backing this up five different ways. He wasn't healthy. He wasn't ready. He's not a relief pitcher. The guy that you overlooked has been brilliant for you. Hey, he messed up. I mean, I can promise, I said this to Sal before, and we had some issues with Torrey, not many, but a couple. Torrey ain't doing this. Billy Morton ain't doing this. Miller Huggins ain't doing this. Davey Johnson for the Mets in 86 isn't doing this. It was just dumb. I guarantee when we have Brett Boone on, Aaron's brother this week, who's been awesome, by the way, he might not say it's dumb because it's his brother. I can promise you, when I push him respectfully, eventually we're going to get an answer like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he wish he could have that one back. And if not, then he's covering for his brother, which I will respect because it's his brother.
I don't think that's an idiotic move. I don't think it was dumb.
Ugh, it's the dumbest thing I've seen him do all year.
I've seen him do a lot dumber things. I don't think that was even that dumb. By the way, you could argue that, and nobody's even brought this up. Why didn't Cortes start the inning? Nobody wants to say Jay Cousins. Oh, why not? Oh, because you all think Cousins is so good. He's the one who put. Once it was first and second for Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, it was over. It's a wrap. Over. You don't want to admit it. It was. You can't get into a spot where you got the guys in front of those three without your high leverage arms. You can't have that happen. It was over. So Cousins is the one who created the mess. Boone went to Cortes, you could say, should he have gone to Hill? And by the way, I said I probably would have gone to Hill, not because of Ohtani, because Hill, I think, has been better.
He's actually pitched.
And because, that to me is not the argument. If he came in and threw a first pitch to Ohtani, they'd hit 9 miles, maybe. But they feel like he's pitching, he was ready to go. He comes in and gets Ohtani out. He got Ohtani out. The reason why I would have gone with Hill is because I would have trusted Hill to get Betts with harder stuff versus Cortes' soft stuff against the righty Betts.
You know, I agree with that
part. And I think part of Boone's flawed thought process was specific numbers versus Ohtani and Betts. Small sample size, but hey, he's 0 for 5 again, whatever.
Even that's foolish because the numbers that were accumulated against Cortes, that was Cortes when he was healthy and sharp and in the middle of a routine of pitching. To me, it's not applicable. The numbers aren't applicable.
Right.
And by the way, this is, let's face it, man. Now, Boone's just got to recover and just be much better. He had an all-time dumb move with Cortes. He had a sequence of events that forced or at least put him in a position to even think about making an all-time dumb move by pulling Gerrit Cole. It all started with that. Listen, Mike Mussina.
You trust Canely better than you do Cortes?
Yeah, 100%.
Canely gave up a double to Shohei Ohtani, and Cortes got
I understand
out.
That, but
that's just one reference point.
I got you. Tommy Canely's been good.
Okay, understood.
He's been part of the match. Magic this postseason.
And he's a high leverage guy, and Boone went with him in the eighth inning. No question. Gave up a double to Ohtani that ended up leading to the tying run.
That almost went out of the yard. Okay. Listen, it's the Ohtani, so I mean, it's all understood. Tom Kahnle, I'm going to answer it this way. Whether it's, and I can't actually, I thought Ohtani was done for the series when I saw that slide. He's actually playing tonight, crazy.
What a terrible slide it was, by the way.
It was a bad one.
You don't slide putting your arm in the ground first. How does that guy steal 50 bases? I don't know.
that was a weird one. I would take my chance, whether it's Ohtani, whether it's Freeman, whether it's Betts, whether it's Will Smith, any Dodger that you want, Kiki Hernandez, I will take my chances with Tommy Kahnle on the mound tonight over Cortez in any conceivable. Bases loaded, up two, bases loaded, down one, one out, man on, Tommy Kahnle.
Understood, but.
And you could have had that if you did a different thing with Garrett Cole.
Oh, maybe, but Boone went
Boone
to Kahnle.
Was awful, dude.
Boone went to Kahnle first with that part of the order. Like, he could have brought Cortez in to face Ohtani in the eighth. He didn't. He had Kahnle in there, and Kahnle got beat, and it ended up costing him. He had to go to Weaver sooner than he would like the tie game, and then he didn't have Weaver for the 10. Bottom line is, against those guys, you don't want to have them come, just like Soto and Judge with the Yankees or Stanton. You don't want to have those guys up if you're opposing them. You don't want to have those guys up with runners on. Once Cousins butchered the 10th inning, and I would argue, hey, Cortez maybe should have started the inning. Maybe he gets out of it before even getting to Ohtani. But knowing that if you did have to go to him against Ohtani, maybe he wouldn't be in a dire situation that he was when he did come into the game. There are arguments to be made. Or Tim Hill. Like, I think that is the best argument. But not because he didn't pitch in a while, or not because Cortez, he did get Ohtani out, something that Kahnle didn't do.
I know we got a break. In my mind, I could create some space, you know, his lane, to use Cortez there if Cortez was a valuable piece of the bullpen this year. He's not. He's a starting pitcher. So not only are you asking a rusty guy to get out two superstars, two Hall of Famers, guy's rusty, but you're also asking a guy who is rusty and still kind of injured. He even said it. He's like, I'm basically, if I blow my arm out, it's okay. I'm with it. I'm trying to win a World Series. You're asking him to do something that he never does. It's not only is he not ready to pitch, it's a completely different role. Bad as it gets for me.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, back on the Fan. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from TravelGuard.com. A little pinstripe preview, of course, BT, ahead of Game 3 of the World Series. Tonight, place should be electric. Would you give any thought? I would not. I know it's been some of the conversation here.
No.
Would you give any thought into moving Aaron Judge in the lineup? Some people were calling yesterday, I know, on social media, like flip-flop.
No.
Either Judge and Soto or move Judge down.
No. I wouldn't myself. No.
That's crazy talk. I mean, we're going to move the line. Now you're going to change the lineup? As potent a twosome or threesome, if you want to throw Stanton behind them, as their age. And by the way, we didn't talk about it because we were off the air Friday. The lineup, the fact that Boone did keep Giancarlo, right? We didn't discuss that, did we?
We did not. No, it came out after. Yeah, because we were talking about
maybe putting the lefty in between him. I thought maybe Rizzo. There was some talk about Jazz, whatever. Anyway, I didn't think Boone had it in him, especially against the Dodgers with all their relievers, to go Judge and Stanton back to back and have four out of the five bottom of the order hitters lefties.
So, I wouldn't mess around with Judge here, but you know, I mean, listen, this is a long time ago, but in 1996, the Yankees made the decision to sit down Tino Martinez. Now, Tino's not Judge, but he was their primary source of power that year, coming over from Seattle that season, first year with the Yankees. And, you know, he was a much better defensive player at first base than Cecil Fielder. Cecil Fielder played in Atlanta, and Tino sat. So when there was no DH. So, it's overthinking it. Now, you want to tell me, you know, maybe you reposition one or two guys, but, you know, you roll with Soto 2 and Judge 3, and that's it.
John is in Philadelphia. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I think you teed it up. Great show, as always. I agree. I think you leave the lineup pretty much as is. But I would consider, I think you got to get Wells out of there. That guy is 4-for-41. He struck out almost 50% of his at-bats. So I think maybe put Trevino in there. Throw it right in the bottom of that lineup. But I think numbers 5 through 9, there's four of them are lefties. So I think you got to do whatever you can to try to make it a little bit more difficult for Dave Roberts. I mean, Dave Roberts, when he uses his bullpen, the Yankees start hitting, it solves a lot of issues, but it makes it way too easy for them. And so I think that maybe you make one move here. 96, BT brought up how Paul O'Neill, or I'm sorry, Tino, Paul O'Neill was taken out. Wade Boggs was taken out. They put Strawberry and Charlie Hayes. Yankees don't have that type of bench here.
No, that's true. You're right. I mean, Boggs actually sat down, too. You're right. Charlie Hayes, who called the final out of the World Series in 96? Charlie Hayes. Yeah, I get it. And Boggs was pretty much the primary third baseman all year. Yeah, I mean, it's totally different team with different depth and different heart and different character and different answers. There's not as much as I think Boone was awful in game one, not incredibly good in game two either. He just doesn't have a lot of answers. Like, all right, you want to pinch hit late tonight? First of all, who do you want to pinch hit for? And there's a few, I'm not saying there's no candidates, but once you identify them, who are you going to pinch hit with? If you make the decision that you're not going to let Dominguez get a couple of swipes up there, who the hell are you sending up the head?
You know, Dominguez would be the only guy. Here's what I would say to our last caller and to anybody who thinks that they should have Trevino starting versus Austin Wells. I'm giving you a perspective of rooting against the Yankees, right? Or I'm not rooting for the Yankees. If Wells is up, I fear Austin Wells. When Trevino is up, I do not.
Me too.
And that's the problem. Just think of that. Like, even though Wells hasn't done anything, and I do feel like he's getting a little closer, all it takes is one swing of the bat, and Wells could do major damage. Whereas Trevino, it's like, what's he going to do? Poke a single to right field?
Well, that's what he did last time, and he got picked off picked off at first base.
Right. Now, he could have done that in a big spot. But by the way, I will also say that we didn't really talk about this, where I think I got up to go to the bathroom real quick and then came back and saw that Trevino was pinch hitting. I was like, what?
Yeah, I know.
That's your best, like, that can't be your best option to pinch hit. And it wasn't. Dominguez would be your best option to pinch hit there. Now, you want to say that he's cold. I'd much rather have, if I'm the Yankees, Dominguez up than I would Trevino. I know you're wasting two players.
I can't disagree. And the other benefit, I just know they're not going to do it, so I'm not going to, you know, rant and rave about it. They probably should. But if you're going to do it, you know, get Dominguez an at-bat early in the series. Like, because if you do need to, if you want to go to him in game five or game six, like, the more he goes without playing and being, like, as having his heart rate adjust to this stage and seeing a few pitches, I mean, how productive is the young kid going to be?
I'll tell you, the game has changed, man. You referencing, you know, Torrey or the 96 Yanks, and I know why people are bringing them up, but just in general, the fact that we're watching postseason baseball where the starters aren't getting knocked out, they're getting taken out, and the bench is essentially useless.
Yeah, it really is. The bench is stink.
You're not even using. Think about the bench of the call, just reference all those players, and now it's like, you want Cabrera to pinch hit?
No.
Probably not.
I mean, he'd probably be at the top of the list for me a little bit.
But like,
Grisham? No.
Yeah.
Trevino? No.
Dominguez, the best option is only because we don't really know. Like, in the limited sample size, we've seen
I know.
What he could be.
That's
but
true.
It's certainly not a bench where, hey, in a big spot, you know, I need a right-handed bat, whether it's whoever, Charlie Hayes, whatever you want to, example you want to use, those type of bats, it's just not the same anymore.
Would you sit Verdugo tonight? Do you think there's any chance Verdugo sits?
And play Dominguez or Grisham?
Grisham.
I would not.
I wouldn't do that either.
I mean, I guess you could, I don't know the career numbers that Grisham has against Buehler.
I mean, how much can they be? He was in the American. Yeah, I don't think they're very high.
Well, Grisham was only with the Padres, maybe against Buehler.
That's true.
Maybe, and I'm sure if he is in the lineup, it's going to be that because he's a better sample size, Grisham versus Buehler. But let's just say, like, offensively, there can't be a drop-off. It could only go up from what Verdugo is. Defensively, Grisham,
he wasn't good this year.
Yeah, at times this year, it's like he wasn't even trying.
He was lazy. He was disengaged, it seemed.
Yeah, now I do trust his bat, especially though he's been postseason proven.
Uh-huh.
I think that's an overall insignificant move.
Who did he take? He had a home run against the Dodgers, didn't he? Was that the Dodgers series?
Wait. When everybody was calling it Sunday Night Baseball.
Sunday night when Soto was hurt and the Yankees lost 2 out of 3, he hit that big home run. Who was that off of? I don't even remember.
I forget who was
either
off
way, I'd have to check his splits, but I'd be surprised. But, if he plays, but I feel like they're going to shake something a little bit up tonight.
Michael's in Cranford. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
I agree almost everything you guys are saying. On the Wells thing, I think what gets lost is that this guy's done such a good job with a mediocre pitching staff after Cole, when you really agree with that. And then I think to BT's point, with Cortez, the thing that gets so frustrating is I thought Boone managed the first two series really well. Everything he touched was gold against two mediocre teams. Then he was managing that game really well, which made the Cortez call so bad is that it was so obvious. These other callers that are going in and saying there was, you know, it was a coin toss. It was obvious that if you put Hill in, like A-Rod said, he's showing you a different direction on the arm, the way he comes in. If you lose there, okay, it worked in the other two series. It was an obvious pick. But the biggest issue, and you guys excoriated me when I called in July, is Judge can't hit under pressure. I called you guys. You took me to task. And I listen, I was upset. And now we're in the series. And A-Rod the other night talking about the expanded zone and everything. You know what, A-Rod? Come out and say, I went through the same thing because this guy has A-Rod virus. It was the same thing, if you guys remember.
I do.
He couldn't hit BT in the postseason, and he had a look like, I just want to go sit down. Yeah. Judge has the same look.
No way. No way does he have that same look, Michael, and thank you for the call. No way.
I feel like, I don't feel like the same look there. The swings are a little more similar for me. A-Rod dropped to eighth in the batting order against the Tigers, and the difference is that Alex always had the insecurities of Jeter, and I think just other insecurities as a human being for some reason. I don't know why he's insecure. He's good looking. Right. He's multi-gazillion-dollar superstar baseball player, and I feel like, I mean, he's still, even the way he kisses Jeter's ass on camera. I said this the other day. Oh, good point, Cap. Come on. They called him Cap like he's Mark Messier.
He's better than Jeter. Way better on TV, by the way. Jeter's,
you know what's
not,
funny, though?
Jeter adds nothing. And I love him.
I'm going to actually go the other way. Not totally. Jeter's better than I thought. I thought Derek on TV was a complete zero.
He says nothing.
I know, but he doesn't say it with emotion. But he hammered Boone after that game. He crushed him.
Okay.
But it's not presented in a way that you and I would present it, or maybe resonates with us. But he says more than I thought he would say, which is stunning.
That's fair, then.
Is stunning to me. But A-Rod's insecurities helped him unravel till he finally got through him. I don't think Judge has any of those. I just really think that it's morphed into. I know I keep saying this, and I know I'm not Ted Williams, but his mechanics are busted. His entire approach, he's jumpy, he's chasing 0-1, now he misses the fastball, now it's lights out.
And he's in his head, and that's how right. Well, that was one issue. But the caller, or anybody else who says that it's a pressure thing, did his home run against Class A, is that not a pressure spot? Down two against the best closer in a game, in game three of a series on the road. Like, that's a pressure spot, right?
That's why I don't really think it's that.
Okay, and the other example is, in the regular season, when you're chasing a home run record with all the eyes in the world on you, every at-bat that you take, whether it's on the road or at home, everybody on their feet, the cameras flashing, all those different things.
Yeah.
You don't think there's pressure in that? Self-induced pressure, like pressure as far as winning the game? Maybe not, but... that's even more pressure than postseason because it's all about you. All the attention is about Judge. Will he hit a home run in this at bat? Will he get 262? And he did. Like, that to me just shows that the pressure part of it doesn't add up. I don't think it's pressure that's failing Aaron Judge. I think it's a circumstance of a couple other things.
But I can't leave a little bit of the pressure out of the equation. Now, the pressure with the home run chase is different. The difference, though... For me, I can't really equivocate the two is, yeah, sure, there's pressure. Is he going to get to 60, going to get to 61, going to get to 62? And we know that he did. But that is personal pressure. That is pressure and stress that's put upon you because of your absolute greatness. And most importantly, Sal, no repercussions of your legacy. If he finished at 59 and didn't get to 60, or finished at 60 and didn't, you know what I'm saying.
Pressure, though.
Yeah, well, pressure, but not pressure that's going to define you. Because you already hit more home runs than anybody in baseball, and we're presuming you're doing it clean, no PED, so you're already rarefied air. The pressure now is the names and the legacy and the place within the history of the Yankees, and we know all the names, and there was one name when he was in that batter's box trying to get number 60 or 61, and it was Roger Maris. Every time he steps up now, it's DiMaggio, it's Babe Ruth, it's Mickey Mantle, it's Derek Jeter, it's Yogi Berra, it's 27 championships, it's different.
I think it's less pressure, more frustration for Judge. All it takes is one to break that dam, and then everything else will be easy from there. It is WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by TravelGuard.com. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. It was a rough weekend for you, my partner.
Not good. Not good.
Jets yesterday, Yanks.
Yeah, it was a bad one, dude. It was all around. I mean, really, in terms of the teams I root for. Not the teams I coach, though, but not the teams about that. The exact opposite. We won all those.
Something that you could control a little bit, some fun with. But, no, it was funny. I was getting asked about it, and I was like, I have no idea how BT's doing. I know he's going to be on the air. I heard a little bit Saturday driving back from my nephew's hockey game. And then, obviously, like I said, I was on yesterday. But even though the Yanks are down, Jets are a whole different story. They're a mess. To me, hire Rex Ryan. Otherwise, seriously, BT, when will we discuss the Jets in a serious manner the rest of the way. If let's assume they don't hire Rex, it's over.
I think the next time we really discuss them with any sort of merit or any real depth is if Aaron Rodgers suffered like a season ending, which that we would then talk about is this at the end and who do you draft and what do you do? Although I do think a conversation needs to be had, and I said this within the first couple of minutes of the show. I want no part of Rex. You didn't say that to start the show. You brought that up a little later. No, thank you. I'll pass on the buffoonery. What I will do is not only will I take calls from teams if they're inquiring about some of my young talent for possible trade, which, by the way, the deadline's November 5th, I might proactively make a few calls and plant a few seeds and see if anybody wants to come to me. Rather than me waiting, I'm open for business.
If the Jets win, forget about logically.
If
they win Thursday, you think? Yeah, I know. But do you think that at least is like, all right? It makes the following game. Who do they have after that? Seattle.
I don't think that's a Seattle game. Why am I forgetting that? Hold on. That brings us to that's Halloween night. It's not the Rams. Not the Colts. Colts, I believe, is December 1. It's not Miami. That's on the back end. Who the hell is it?
Arizona. At Arizona.
That's right. At Arizona.
So Texans Thursday at Arizona, home against. Like, if they win Thursday.
How long are we going to play this game for?
I'm just saying. Like, trying to make them. I mean, you know, the football season is a long way from over. And you're not going to be able to fire. I mean, like I said, outside of the Rex scenario, they're not hiring a new head coach in season, not going to be firing anybody else. This is basically it.
I mean, if they beat the Texans, because the Texans are pretty good, not a great team.
They are favored on Thursday?
Yeah, by one or so. They're still favored. Yeah.
That's right, 1-point favorite.
Yeah, I saw that.
That would be a sucker's bet taking the Texans then.
I mean, any
Texans
bet
are better, but no, I get it. But why is that line's begging you to take Houston?
Yeah, they're begging you to. So that'll be the night the Jets win 37-10.
Yeah, and get everybody sucked back in.
I was gonna say it can't get worse until national TV they put up an A+ effort all around, and you know Reddick is not rusty, and Devontae's happy here, and Wilson's coming off a great game, and Breece Hall's doing his thing, and Rodgers throwing dimes, and the defense with a few stops, and they beat C.J. Stroud a year ago with Zach Wilson. Don't tell me they can't beat him again. So, yeah, the script probably will worsen. They'll find a way to win this game on Thursday. They'll suck us back in, and then they'll just, you know, do what they always do. I don't know again, too, but at some point they will lose a game they're not supposed to.
Yeah, understood.
You know but at that least that's going
to
happen.
I just would like them to be at least relevant for a little bit longer.
Me
here.
Too.
You get the Giants tonight. Hey, maybe the Giants upset the Steelers, and then they can become relevant. Who would have thought that this year? And I told you, it goes back to foundation. The Giants have built even though that foundation has come under fire, or maybe not under fire is the right way, by some, yes, but come into question, Shane and Dable, the Giants have built the foundation, and it shows you that that is more valuable than talent. Now, again, their record is not very good, but I'd much rather be where the Giants are at than the Jets, which is just total chaos. And if the Giants somehow win a game tonight, which I don't think it's implausible to think that they could beat Russell Wilson and the Steelers, all of a sudden their season back, on for a certain extent.
I do... Listen, it does feel a little bit better with the Giants, I guess. It's not saying much, but I don't know if the Giants have it better than the Jets. They've got a decision with Daniel Jones for a lot of money.
Well, I think the decision is over.
Until they sit him, it's not over because you got a $25 million injury guarantee. So not over until he's actually on ice. That's the first hurdle. And then the second one is, all right, let's get rid of him, which is an easy one this offseason. And what are the cap repercussions based off? Not as bad because they structured it smartly. But their offensive line's still a disaster. I don't think any team, none of these teams have direction.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Giants at least have a head coach. I would rather have Giants ownership, Joe Shane, Brian Dable, and the roster that the Giants have right now than the Jets.
You know what I would rather have? I would rather have Giants ownership, which has not been good the last decade or so that's saying something. Giants ownership, the Giants head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets GM and the Jets roster. If you could give me Dable and Mara and get rid of Woody and Oprah, it's not his fault, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And have Dable coach this Jets roster?
Man, why is Joe Douglas getting a pass?
He's not getting a pass. He's going to get fired. He deserves to. What has Shane done? What has Shane done?
Well, it's only year three.
I understand that. But what has Shane done?
He hasn't had his chance. The only knock, every general manager is going to have some good draft picks, some bad ones. So he's had some bad ones. He's had some good ones. The only real criticism is the extension to Daniel Jones, and I'm not so sure how much of that was on the owner. But other than that, how do we evaluate what Shane is?
Well, I look at the high-level talent, and this is, trust me, it's so annoying to even say this. Who cares? It's gotten us nowhere. But with a better coach and a better system, maybe it would have. Like, you know, Sauce has definitely taken a step back, but he's still a stud. Garrett Wilson, Neighbors is a stud. But you think about the two players that Shane dropped drafted in the top 10.
Neil's
a complete stiff, awful. And Kayvon Thibodeau's good. He's not great. I don't think he'll ever be great. He's good.
Yeah, but that you could say the same about Sauce.
Well, no, you can't because Sauce has been all pro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care who's voting on this.
I hear you, but we got to make a distinction between Pro Bowl and all pro. Yeah. He's been all pro his first 2 years.
Understood.
This is the year that I have a problem with.
I've always felt like he was overrated. And now you're seeing it like this shouldn't happen to a great player.
He can't tackle a lick, man. He can't. That, I mean, I knew he didn't want to really lower the pads and mess around, but he tackles like a 9-year-old, man. He's got no weight on him. He really is.
I'm Azana. I live in Columbus, Ohio. When we vote, we send a message that we will be heard. And with so much at stake, our fundamental right to vote is on the line. We can't afford to miss this chance. Vote by November 5th.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party. www.ohiodems.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.